Porque com essa dia, qualquer momento fica mais gostoso. Do café da manhã até a hora da novela. Então, bora pra mais um episódio.
Aloha! Hoje nossa conversa alcança o Havaí, ali em Oahu, a terceira maior ilha do arquipélago. Nosso convidado cresceu abraçado pelos tubos de Banzai Pipeline e até se decidir pela música ainda estudou cinema. Não, na real ele acabou juntando tudo, ondas, filmes e música, quando dirigiu documentários de surf em que também compunha a trilha sonora. Formou. Foi assim que começou uma carreira musical que já passa de 20 anos, com 5 álbuns entre os top 10 da Billboard, 25 milhões de cópias vendidas e 10 músicas no número 1 da parada chamada Parada Adulto Alternativa Americana. Where all the people go? I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV show. O sucesso dele representa uma ressurreição da música folk, acústica e suave, levada ao violão, cantada com doçura, mas o seu estilo ainda inclui boas doses de reggae, soul music, sem esquecer da influência das vozes da natureza, a percussão das ondas, o canto dos pássaros e dos ventos de seu Havaí, onde ainda mora. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's song. This world keeps spinning and there's no... Ele não berra. Diz que sua voz não funciona muito bem gritando, mas sabe falar firme e busca fazer a sua parte na preservação da natureza. Meet the Moonlight, Encontre a Luz do Luar, é o seu 8º álbum de estúdio, como sempre produzido com o menor impacto ambiental possível, e vai chegar às lojas e às plataformas digitais em 24 de junho. Ele é Jack Johnson. It's funny how blind dreams can be. Seems like they look off too far. Welcome, Mr. Johnson. We lean on Jack Johnson.
Hello.
Hi. Aloha. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Good. How is Hawaiian spring doing? Flat?
It's beautiful. Yeah, just like you said, the waves are flat, but the sun is out and it's a nice day outside. How's it down there?
It's cold in São Paulo. Pretty cold. Uh-huh. Yeah. Rio de Janeiro is never cold, you know, but we are São Paulo now. Listen, it's been 5 years you haven't had to go through the ordeal of releasing a new album. What do you miss most about show business? The airports, hotel rooms, interviews with Brazilian TV?
Yeah, I miss it all. No, it's... I do enjoy a lot of the different parts of the process. I love writing the songs. It's probably my favorite, you know, when the songs, they're not finished yet and they're just ideas and there's still a lot of potential inside of the songs. Once I finish recording them and they're done, that's always a hard phase. It's difficult to decide that you're actually finished. But once I release them to go out and tour and to be able to share them, that's a really fun part of the process as well, to see how they work with an audience. Because when you're playing them alone in the room, it's one thing. And then when you share the songs, which ultimately is what they're for.
Yeah, that's when things really happen. But listen, this album, was it conceived and produced during isolation, during pandemic?
Yeah, it was. A lot of the songs, I kind of always have little pieces of the songs that are around for a long time. And then I kind of, my wife helps me. We go through and we listen and she kind of helps me pick out the ones that she thinks are the catchiest or whatever, just the ones she likes. And then I work on those ones. And so a lot of them were written all during the pandemic. Some were ideas from before, but they were all affected by the time that I was writing them.
So Kim is always your first listener, first audience.
She is. Yeah, she's been my editor since I was 18 years old. We met, and the love songs she doesn't really get to hear. Those are always kind of because I'm not that good at remembering to get presents and things. So usually, if it's an anniversary, it's like, oh shoot, I better start working on one. So like, most of the love songs are either Christmas or anniversary or Valentine's Day, and I better get something quick.
But at the end, they work. Even yeah, if you do it in a hurry.
They do, yeah.
I got you. I got everything. I got you. I don't need nothing more than you. I got everything. I've got you.
But listen, you once said music is about sharing moments, opposite to the selfish selfish experience of the surfer out there by his on his own. The video of Meet the Moonlight, the song, is precious because it gives away the views that only surfers have of the wave from behind, underneath the water.
You can meet the moonlight in a night you really want. It's waiting in your own backyard.
And was it your idea or the director's, Morgan Massen? Is that the way to say his name?
Yeah,
was his
correct.
Idea or yours?
You know, it was a combination. I knew Morgan's a good friend of mine. I've known him since he was a little kid. And I would like to think that I maybe even as an uncle kind of had an influence on him because I knew him when he was just in high school still, and I was making surf films, and he's told me before that I had some influence on him because he got into surf photography, and so I knew he had a lot of these beautiful images around, and so I talked to him about helping me to make something that was from this world but felt out of this world. And like you said, it's an amazing view we get to. Sometimes it's not only for the aesthetics of it, but it's also functional. When you go under a big wave and you open your eyes, you can see where the energy is coming, and you can kind of swim in different ways to try to escape the energy as you're going under a wave. Those kind of big clouds, they look like big mushroom clouds coming. And I just took my band, actually, the other day I was explaining to the band about how you could see that. So one morning when it was bright and the sun was just rising, I took the band out swimming, the drummer and the piano player, and we went and we looked behind the waves and we got that view with some snorkel and masks on. It was nice.
But listen, for an artist like you that always, your songs evoke sunlight, beach, nature, and now you're proposing meet the moonlight, meet the dark side, meet the night. What right. has changed?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. This is, for me, doing these interviews, it's always like seeing a psychiatrist, to be honest, because I don't think too much about it as I write the songs. They're just thoughts I have. And then it's interesting because as I start doing press, people will start saying, well, it sounds like things have been pretty good in your life because this or that, or sounds like you've been thinking about a lot of darker images, you know? And so it's always interesting for me to see how the songs are perceived. But it was just one night when I walked outside, and I went out there and I looked up, and I, even being somewhere where it's warm outside and I could get out there any night, whenever I do get out under the moonlight, I always think, why don't I do this every single night? And it's a choice we can make to walk through a doorway, a very simple choice that has a profound effect very quickly, as opposed to sometimes dreams we might have that are years off the ambitions we have and all these sacrifices we make in our life to get to something that may or may not end up being what we dream it will be, where a simple choice to walk through the door and take a break and be in the moment, whether it's moonlight or just taking a walk outside where it's more quiet and we're outside of all the social media and this kind of stuff. It's that's what the song was about for me. It was like a meditation just to remind myself there's simple choices we can make to be in the moment.
It sounds like a very good and advice, a very precise advice for the times we're living. Times like these, just to quote yourself.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Times like these.
times like those, for the bee will be, and so it goes, and it always goes on and on and on and on and on.
The first single of Meet the Moonlight to be released was One Step Ahead, and reached already number 9 in the adult alternative charts on Billboard.
Oh,
Billboard. Yeah.
When it feels like it's all closing in.
The song arrangement brings some experimentalisms, like daring timbres, sound effects, close to, allow me, psychedelic sound. So does this have to do with your recording process, or what it's about the new producer, Blake Mills?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a little bit to do with both the process and the person I worked with. We ended up just the two of us in the room making most of the album. And at the very end, I had the band come in and they helped us to finish off some tracks. But with that out, the process in general, Blake and I found ourselves racing to the drums or to the bass or to the guitar or to the keyboards, always with an idea. And we were both pretty honest with each other of, if I liked his idea more, then we'd go with that. And if he liked mine more, we'd go. So the bass line, I picked up the bass. He had played the drums on that song, and then I played that bass. And I do like a lot of like psychedelic rock kind of stuff like Tame Impala. And that was my bass player in a band. When he first heard the bass line, he said it reminded him a little bit of like a Tame Impala bass line. Which was cool because I love that band. And so it's maybe different than my friend Merlo, who plays the bass in the band. He comes up with a lot of the bass lines, but that was one that that I came up with this time, and he was happy to play it. We love sharing ideas.
You want to show us to us the bass line that began everything?
Sure. Yeah, I have this guitar is tuned to open tuning, like Meet the Moonlight tuning, but I could do something. I'm sure it could be like, I think it would be... let's see, it's close. Oh, shoot. I better not try it on this one. It's a different
no
tune
problem.
Altogether.
We can see the video. We edit and put the video on.
How can you be so certain that you're the one flirting with fire? If each choir needs preaching and everyone's reaching into their pockets to see what they got. If not, a lot has changed. But if everything's changing, playing to see you say. But no one sees face to face or eye to eye. This is not how it has to end. Who wants to be one step ahead? First to the punchline. Just one step ahead. First to the punchline.
You have reached 20 years of career, and the music scene has changed a lot in these years. Like CDs and iPods are things of the past. It's streaming now. Also, the surf world has changed a lot. So what has changed the most, surf or music business? And how do these changes affect your art? Your art.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I think if I wanted to get into the nerdy part of surfboard design, there's lots of changes that have happened. But in general, we're riding very similar things that I was riding when I was a kid. Whereas in the music industry, when I first was putting out my very first album, there was no iTunes yet. It was all CDs. And lucky for me, there was the technology that a lot of people were complaining about at the time, because you could take music off of the internet and you could burn it onto a CD at the time. And it was, a lot of people were worried about it, and I understand why. But for me, in my own personal experience, it was very helpful because I didn't have any distribution yet for my CD. So when I would travel opening for Ben Harper, I would show up in any town I was at, and you couldn't buy my album yet in a record store. It wasn't available, but there was teenagers coming to the show and they were showing me a burnt CD that had my songs, and they say, sorry, I couldn't find it anywhere, but I have this. would you sign it? And I was always happy to sign it. And I was very appreciative that they were coming to the shows and they'd heard the music one way or another. And so that was how the technology was changing then, you know, and then I went to streaming. It's, you can try to fight the technology, but it never works. It's just, it, from my perspective, you have to roll with it, and whatever's best for the listener, then that's best for music. I'm a huge music fan, and I remember being a kid and saving up my money to go buy one CD of a band that I wanted to hear. And there's a certain nostalgic kind of romance to that, of really waiting for those 12 songs or whatever it might be, which I kind of enjoy thinking back to. But I look at my kids now and they have access to so much music and they're being turned on all the time, the different sounds and different bands. And so I think that's, it's been beautiful to watch the accessibility of it.
But do you still, when you get a new album, do you still listen to it from track one, two, three to the, in the order?
I do. I'm kind of romantic like that. And even when I'm making my track listing, I always think about side A and side B. And you, I try to make it where it feels like, even if you're not listening and flipping the vinyl over, you have a little break in the middle. It's just a nice way to sequence an album, I think.
Yeah, I can't help it. I do the same thing. It's like a movie to me. I'm going to watch that movie. It has a story to tell, and each track, it's a scene, a sequence. Listen, yeah, you mentioned your kids. How old are they now? And are they surfers as well, or musicians?
Yeah, they all love surfing and they all love music. I'm really lucky. We have, when I was a kid, I had lots of music playing in the house, but there were no instruments. And then I got a guitar when I was 14 years old. I got my own guitar and I loved it. I felt so lucky to have it around. The thing with my kids is I have a drum set in the living room. We have no TV in the living room. It's just drums and bass and piano and guitars everywhere and ukuleles. And so from when they were little babies, I always had no rules either. They could just pick them up and bang them around. I didn't put my best instruments in the house, just always ones that the kids could pound on. And so anyways, we're lucky because we have lots of family jams. They love music. They love surfing, my two favorite things. So I feel very blessed.
How old are they?
I got 18, 15, and 12.
Who's the best surfer?
They're all about the same. They all love it. They're all good. The best musician, though, is my daughter, the youngest one. She's the only one that can read music. All the rest of us, we can't. So.
Wow. They are coming. Girls are coming. That's good.
It is good.
Listen, for any Brazilian musician, there's an unavoidable landmark. It's to before and after getting to know João Gilberto, bossa nova's pope. For you, is there such a landmark? I remember once you mentioned João Gilberto music. What happened to you when you got to know him?
It's almost embarrassing to say, but when I first heard, João Gilberto and Brazilian music in general, I found it so beautiful, but I was so young, I didn't know what language they were speaking. I was so little and I knew so little about the world that I was thinking it was French. I remember the first time I heard it, it was all French to me, you know, but as I grew up, I wanted to know what the songs were about. And so I started kind of like looking at interpreting some of the songs and about nature, and it definitely the songwriting had an influence on me as well. But my wife and I really fell in love to putting on that type of music around the house and on road trips. And it had a profound effect. And I think one of the people I work with a lot, his name is Mario Caldado Jr. And he's produced several records with us. And he's always, every time we record, he brings a whole new set of like Brazilian percussion that he brings home. And he always fills my studio with things like that. And he makes playlists of different Os Mutantes was always a band that he was playing for us early on for the psychedelic sounds and everything. It had a profound effect on me, the music of Brazil. Yeah. But the thing more than anything was the first time I played in Brazil, live music, and the way that there's not really a distinction between the stage and the crowd, how everybody's a part of the music. And sometimes the crowd would be singing so loud, I could just back off the microphone and take a break, you know. And it was, to me, it was really moving to feel that much energy. I'd never felt that before.
Então vamos ver Jack Johnson quando esteve no Brasil, levando Mais Que Nada, de Jorge Benjor.
Oh,
Jorge Benjor, he's incredible.
Yeah. We play that song even in the United States sometimes. We play that one just because it's such a fun groove, you know. It's not only in Brazil. And Vanessa da Mata, she's so beautiful, her voice.
Yeah, and Sergio Mendes released it in the 60s, late 60s in the States, and it was a huge success.
That's the first version I heard because my parents had that album, you know, on vinyl, yeah. I remember.
And his right hand, Jorge Ben's right hand, you can see it in so many bands all over the world, the way he plays.
It's so true. It's true. The percussion with the right hand, to me, I was so interested in that. And it's like, I had no band for a long time, so I would have to try to play the drums and the guitar at the same time, you know?
Well, I was sitting waiting, wishing you believed in superstitions, then maybe you'd see the sign. Lord knows that this world is cruel, and I ain't the Lord, no, I'm just a fool, learning loving somebody, don't make them love you.
You transmit peace to your audience. You have an easygoing image. You have your music is soothing, but you work hard for environmental awareness. I know you usually donate some of the profits from your shows to non-profit organizations, local non-profit organizations. Does this political consciousness reflect in the music you make in any way, or vice versa?
Yeah, I think so. I think with the songs, I've never been able to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to write a song about this. I've done a few of them, and they're more like kids' songs, you know. But as far as the songs that make it on the album, I think the closest thing I get to any kind of an environmental statement is just trying to remind people how much they love nature. It might be a song like Meet the Moonlight, for example, would be one where it's a reminder of how special it is and our connection to it. It's not trying to show any solutions or next steps, but I think once people are in love with something, they want to protect that thing, whether it's family or friends or the environment, whatever it is, the ocean. If you love it enough, then you want to protect it naturally. I think Jacques Cousteau is the one who said, we protect the things we love. And so with the music, the best I think I can do is just remind people of that love and that connection we have. With the nonprofit organizations, we can work towards those next steps. We can try to establish. We have a learning farm that we're working on in Hawaii. And to me, that's my real work now, is working on this learning farm. It's an 8-acre farm that we have high school age interns come to help us with it. And eventually we'll be able to host elementary school, like younger kids on the farm.
What do the teenagers learn there?
They learn hard work for one thing, but they also learn that over time they can watch something grow. We're growing these one gigantic gourds, for instance, and once they dry out, you can cut the top off. It's a percussive instrument in Hawaii called a ipu, and it's what a lot of times you see with a boom ka boom ka ka boom ka, that rhythm that the hulas dance to. And so we're growing those, and they can go from planting the seed to watching this grow all the way to drying it out and creating an instrument from it. We have a little corner of the area where we're planting native wetland plants. We have natural springs coming up, and already the insects, the native insects and the native birds have started to return to this area. And so I think they can see the hard work and patience can bring things back to a beautiful state.
O Jack Johnson já esteve 4 vezes no Brasil, num total de 14 concertos, 14 shows que ele fez aqui. A última vez foi em 2017, ele veio com a família toda, tocou, se apresentou no Rio, São Paulo, surfou, limpou a praia e até plantou mudinhas na prainha no Rio de Janeiro. Vamos lembrar isso.
Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. Mm-hmm.
the memories, they look so
pretty when I sleep.
Well, our team went to Prainha to see what happened to these seedlings, and you might be pleased to see. Let's have a look. So this is today.
That's so cool.
They have grown.
That's so cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, congrats. They have
Thank
grown.
You. Yeah. It's so fun to see feeling. All that footage. It's really nice. I remember those days. I have great memories from those days of surfing, and we got to push some kids into waves, and you know, just those are the days we go on tour for. Music is the bonus, but like what we get to do during the day a lot of times is the experiences I bring home. So it's fun to see footage of that. Thank you.
Well, I hope you come back soon. Any plans?
I heard my wife talking about it yesterday on the phone with my the guy who books all of our shows. So I know they're talking about it. I don't know what dates yet. Whatever we land on will be
sooner the better.
Yeah, there's something going on. I know we're trying to get down there as soon as we can.
And you remember about the relationship Brazilians have with the environment. Do you remember anything that called your attention for better or worse?
Every time we've gone, we've been able to get out and do like either a tree planting, or that day we went to the beach and did seeds. It's always just really moving to see how involved everybody gets. And there's some places where they kind of, as the artist, they bring you in and they bring you out. I've always loved that I can come in and just spend time with everyone and we can all do it together. It's, you know, everybody's excited that I'm there and it's a lot of fun, but it's like, after a while, we're all working together to accomplish something, and it's for the common goal. So just the amount of teamwork and family and community there has always been really moving to me. And that's how you get things done. It's in Hawaii, we have the Hawaiian term for it is laulima. It means many hands make light work.
Watch you when you say what you are.
What do you think of the generation of Brazilian surfers that became to be known the Brazilian Storm?
They're amazing. They're mind-blowing. Yeah, they really are. They are the Storm. They I know a lot of them. I surf with them when they're in Hawaii, and I've known them since they were teenagers, and I've seen them kind of grow up to now be the best surfers in the world.
There are three Brazilians that have already won the WSL World Title: Gabriel Medina, Italo Ferreira, and Adriano de Souza.
Felipe Toledo is not far. He'll be soon.
Yeah, Filipinho is the next one. Would you bet on him this year, 2022? He won bells.
They're all so good, but they got to be John Florence, and he lives down the street from me, so you know. I still got to root for my neighbor.
you got to root your neighbor, right?
But they all can win it. They're all amazing, for sure.
Yeah. Are you going to show us something? Would you toast the Brazilian audience with a bit of your music? What do you want to show?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sorry for before. Now I can. This one is it's a Hawaiian tuning. It's called slack key, and you tune all the strings differently. So
that's
great.
This
one I have it tuned for Meet the Moonlight. It's a song
that's Meet the Moonlight, the song that brings it's the title of the album, right?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's the title of the album too. Yeah, so it's like this.
Well, you can meet the moonlight in a night you really want. is waiting in your own backyard. And you can make the flame meet the kindling, make the fire. Don't let anybody say it's too hard. It's funny how blind dreams can be. It seems like they look off too far. And it's good to be right here. It's good not to miss too many chances to follow love.
Moonlight is for free, is out there waiting for us, always.
<That's true. laughs> I like that, that's true.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. Thanks a lot.
Obrigado.
Obrigado você. How do you say thank you in Hawaiian?
Mahalo. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. Mahalo, man. Thank you so much. Hope to see you soon in Brazil.
Can't wait.
They're applauding. First row.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care.
Obrigado. Tchau.
Valeu, gente. Até a próxima. Quer ver mais? Entre no Globoplay.